Bye.
Praise the Lord forever. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy podcast, and I'm Brother Eric, and I have a special guest on hold right now. Let me see if I can punch you in here. Let me see if we can get him on in. Brother Brandon Robertson, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Glory.
Hey. I'll see you again.
Hey, man.
we're just going to hop right on into it. But we was at Steak and Shake Thursday, and I remember we kind of hit on pride, and was kind of talking about somebody who was at the table. And I used to really believe that, and I still do in a certain sense, I used to really believe that every step out of God's love, or every step in the sin or frustration or anything that's wrong, I always believe the root of it was pride. And I still believe that to a certain extent, but I want to talk about selfishness today. Because I believe if we didn't have any selfishness in us, then there wouldn't be any problems. Serving the Lord.
No, there wouldn't be any problems.
One of the main things Jesus told us to do is to take up our cross and to deny ourselves. To deny selfish desires, to deny the flesh. What were you going to say, Brandon?
I was just going to say the Lord really had to deal with me to surrender my heart, you know, to his way. You know, talking about denying yourself, I wanted my own way, you know, for the longest time until the Lord just had to show me. That you want your own way. That's why I'm not doing anything for you. That's why I can't do anything for you. You have to deny what you want and live what I want you to live, what I tell you to live. And, that shook my mind. You know, I thought we just live how we lived, and then, you missed it, you got forgiven. You know, what you thought you did wrong, you just asked for forgiveness and went on. You know, I didn't know you had to do what he said. I understood forgiveness, but when he told us in his word to love one another as I loved you, I didn't know to do that. I didn't even understand what that meant. No, I was never taught that. You know, how to really love like Jesus. Praise God.
I heard a guy minister, and it kind of rocked me a little bit, but he said that he hasn't been hurt or offended or hurt or disappointed or discouraged in 10 years, and he's been saved for 10 years. And what he said was, when you deny yourself, when you're dead, people can't hurt you. They don't hurt you. You hurt for them. He said, people can't do something that makes me cry. I cry for them. I don't cry because of them. If they do something and they're not living who God really has made them to be, they cry for them. They don't cry because of them. I said, oh, my God, what have I been doing all these years? Let me ask you this. Is it to be hurt by somebody? And I do feel like, because any time I've gotten hurt, I've examined myself, and I always come back to, I must not have been doing something right for their actions to hurt me. I always took the blame. Is there a certain time where, is there any time where somebody can do something to you that is biblically sound? Is it's okay for you to be hurt, or is it all just selfishness?
I believe it's all selfishness. Because any time that I've felt hurt and it caused me to change out of love,
right?
Then the Lord has come to me and said, "You're hurt. You need to get that right." Because in Luke chapter 4:18, it said Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." So anytime your heart can get broke, Jesus is there to heal your heart.
That's right.
The Lord spoke something to me in Isaiah. He said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow." And the Lord told me, he said, he told me this. He said, "Don't ever tell somebody you're sorry for what they went through." And I said, "What?" He said, "I'm not in that." He said, "I bore their griefs and sorrow."
That's awesome.
He said, "I've already bore what they've gone through. So it's up to them to get that on me." You know, so, yeah, you went through that, but get that on Jesus. Let him bear that weight of grief and pain that you've gone through. Mm. And I thought, man, well, praise God. Yeah, I mean, you know, because what he wants to do is take hurt away from people and take pain and sin away from people. And if you want to keep that, I mean, that's on you. But he's there to remove it so you can walk in his victory and in his love.
Let me ask you this, because I know this will probably be going through a few people's minds. But what about the time when Jesus wept? Now, was he crying because somebody hurt him, or was he weeping? Tell me, why was he weeping?
Well, help me, Lord, with this one. But I believe when the Lord he does get hurt, that he's already done everything he could do to help them. You know, you mentioned that person was talking, said that he felt sorry for them.
Right.
You know, and I believe that's the way Jesus is. He's like, look, I've already provided a way out for you, and you're not accepting it.
Right.
I've already provided healing. I've already provided deliverance. I've already provided your way out of everything, and you're choosing another way. You're not denying yourself and following me and walking in my victory, walking in my love, walking in my deliverance. And I do. I believe that hurts. That hurts him for them.
That's right.
You know, not for him. I mean, he's already done everything he's going to do. you know, I mean, he's already, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It's finished." He's already finished the work. It's up to us to believe in that and walk in.
Brandon, give me some practical things that happened in your life where you came at a crossroad where it was an action you was doing that was selfish, and then you kind of saw how you could take this action and it would be for self, or you could take the action of love and do it the way Jesus taught you to. So any specific issues that you had like that?
Yeah, I've already got it. Amen. All right, the Lord, I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, you got to help me love my wife." I said, "Lord, she does something, you know, I would get a feeling on me that it would just sit there. And I didn't know how to get rid of that to be able to love her, you know, the right way." And I said, "Lord, you got to help me. You got to teach me how to love her." Well, he asked me a question. He said, "When I was on the cross, do you think I felt like loving anybody?"
Mm.
Now, when I heard that, I said, "Huh?" I said, "There's no way in my mind you're hanging with nails in you. You can't hardly breathe. You've done been beaten and whipped. You are in pain. There's no way you feel like love doing anything, much less loving anybody." And I said, he said, "I didn't. I was in pain." And I thought about it. Yeah, he was in pain. And he said, "But what did I give the people?" And I thought about it, and I said, "According to the word, you forgave them."
Yes.
And he said, "No." He said, "No." Now, he did forgive them, but he was trying to make me see something.
Okay.
He said, I gave them the Father's love.
Oh, that's better.
You know, he said, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. And I was thinking about it. I still hadn't got any clue what he's trying to tell me. But then he said this. He said, whenever you feel like your wife, your dog, or your kid, because that was the areas, you know. He said, whenever you feel like they're hanging you on a cross. And I thought about that. Eric, has anybody ever done something to you where it feels like they putting you on a cross?
Oh, yeah, I felt crucified.
Yeah, you're just hanging up there. They just beat you with it.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I see that. He said, I only want you to give them my love.
Wow.
So I said, Lord, you're telling me I can never go by how I feel. You know, we're talking about denying yourself.
Right.
And he said, you can never go by how you feel. He said, I never told you to walk by how you feel. He said, I told you to walk by faith. That I love you. I forgive. He said, I want you to do the same thing. You look at your wife or your kid or your dog and say, I forgive you, I forgive you. Just like I did on the cross. And I said,
wow.
Okay. So from that, I started doing that, and I could have that feeling on me, Eric, and just look at it and say, I forgive you. And that feeling lift right off of me. Just as quick as you snapped your fingers. I thought, man, praise God. I said, there's power in the name of Jesus, man. Praise God. There's power in doing what he said.
And so you're saying, instead of what you're doing is you're not giving, I think the cross is just a perfect example, but you're not giving them what you feel, you're giving them Jesus' love.
Yes.
And he gave the Father. He didn't give everybody, mankind, what he felt at the time. He gave them the Father's love.
Gave him the Father's love.
And what he did was, for the people that was hurting him physically, he prayed for them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for
them. Amen.
And so, let me read this real quick, because what I'm seeing is, what I really believe is the opposite of selfishness is love. It's Jesus' love. And if you read the scripture, it says, love endures long. Well, anybody who has to endure as long, they have to deny themselves. Love is patience. Love
Ooh,
is kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love never is envious. It never boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful. Not vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. All of these things have to do with the self, the flesh, selfishness. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's offense, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. So the opposite of selfishness would be to walk in Jesus' love.
Amen. Amen.
And the number one place that was displayed was on the cross.
Amen. Yeah, that's
let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is kind of a touchy subject, and I'm just going to have to man up and talk about it. But could even overeating be an act of selfishness, or being heavy and gaining a whole bunch of weight? Does that have anything to do with being selfish, or is that just... So, you know, your metabolism. What excuses do we have?
Praise God. I agree. It has to do with self.
You know, so does
because I've had the Lord tell me, stop, that's all I want you to have. So if love is telling me that's enough,
amen.
You know, then the opposite of that, you know, me wanting my own way to do what I want. You know, he also said to take care of your temple.
That's right.
And you want it to look good and look right. So it's love saying that, yeah, you know, there is selfishness. You know, and I talked to a friend of mine one day, you know, and I got so convicted. He said, man, I don't exercise for myself. I do it for my wife. said, because that's the way she wants me to look, and I love her, and I want to, you know, do that for her.
I thought, man, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, Lord, I hear you.
You know, I hear you speaking too.
But that's love. You denying yourself.
Denying yourself. So where do we start to deny ourselves? What's the first place we start? Somebody said, man, how do I deny myself? Where's the first place to start?
The first place to start is you just need to know that Jesus is right.
That's right.
You need to just realize and come to the place where you say, you know what? Jesus is right. You know, and you have to believe that he knows all things. And you don't have to question him. In John 16, his disciples were talking to him, and he was telling them that he came forth from the Father and come to the world again. I leave the world, I go to the Father. And his disciples said, they said, Lord, now you speak plainly and speak no proverb. Now we are sure you know all things and need not that any man should ask you any questions. When you finally get to that place where you just believe he knows all things, you don't have to question him, you're at a place where you'll just, Lord, what do you say? I'll do it. You tell me what to do, Lord, I'll do it. And that's when you really surrender your heart to him, to just, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. I'll do anything you tell me. Anything.
Well,
and when he tells you, when somebody does you wrong and all that feeling's on you, he says, go forgive them and forget it. You won't have a problem. Your heart won't have a problem to just yield to that and go do it. Just bust through how you feel. Bust through what you think. Bust through what your mind's telling you. Just, man, I forgive you and forget it. And all that'll leave. Every bit of it.
Amen.
Every time.
But and yeah, Jesus said, and Jesus said, lest you take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. He said, you cannot be his disciples. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow him. So until you do that first, that first step is believing on him, reaching out to him, getting saved, and believing on him. And then you got to know that he's always right. And then you surrender, you take up your cross and follow him. Is that the order you would say it would be in?
Yes. Yes, you have to believe he is who he said he is. He came forth from God, that the Father spoke directly through Jesus and everything he said, because Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I hear the Father or see the Father do. And when you come to that revelation, then you know, once you believe in him, he's right.
Amen. Amen. Brandon, what happened to you, per se, because I knew that, and we probably talked about this on one of the other podcasts, but what happened to you that kind of turned the page for you to get over there where you totally surrendered to Christ?
I had to believe that there was nothing in me the blood of Jesus couldn't cleanse. Basically, but I had to believe that his blood was greater than everything I could go through, I could face. And once I got to that place where I just believed he loved me, that was the turning point for me. You know, I had a where I could love everyone else but myself. You know,
really?
I couldn't get over if I missed it, if I did something wrong. You know, and that was pride, you know, thinking I should be on this level. I should be here, you know, because I maybe follow God or whatever else. I should be here. And then when you miss it or I missed it, I'd feel like I shouldn't have done that. And then I'd just get beat up for for the longest time. But once I realized that once I confessed one time what I did, he forgave me and forgot it. I mean, I don't know. That gets me happy right now. But he said it in 1 John 1:9. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse. You know, and I was you know, I'm gonna tell the story. But there was a guy, you had to get honest with yourself. You know, I used to try to justify my actions. You know, well, I did this because of that. I did this. Well, I was ministering to a man who had a friend that died, and he knew this friend and knew that he was going through a lot of problems. He started drinking and just going back and doing things he shouldn't have been doing, taking a lot of drugs and walking in a lot of depression. And this friend of mine said that he knew to tell him and be honest with him and be truthful about what he needed to do. He said, but he never could do it. Right. And he was feeling guilty. And I said, man, you didn't do it. I said, he killing you didn't do that. But everything I was saying wasn't helping him. And so finally I just said, all right, you messed up. You did it. You know, he almost like,
right.
Oh no. Oh, help me, you know, help me. You know, but what the Lord showed me was this, just get honest. See, he was being convicted in his heart of something he did wrong. And he knew he was supposed to do it. And I said, all right, you did it. You missed it. You messed up completely. He did. He knew it. And I said, but Jesus said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, you done confessed. I said, now Jesus is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you. I mean, just like you snapped your finger, he was free.
Wow.
You know, rather than try to cover it up and hide it, just go ahead and be honest. Oh, Lord, you know, I missed that. I should have done that. And then let it get to the blood and let Jesus cleanse it and get rid of it. I mean, I, you know, man, praise God, I'm getting happy. But, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. When you're honest with God, he loves that. He wants us to be honest and open and be able to share, you know, hey, Lord, you got to forgive me, but I'm sorry. And then he just forgives you like that. Here. I mean,
that's very, very important. First, being honest, and then secondly, being able to be honest with the Father, confess your sins. Because he said that he that's been forgiven much loveth much.
Oh.
And you can't even begin to be forgiven or receive forgiveness if you're not being honest about the things you've been wrong, if you don't confess your sin to him. And, man, have I had to confess sins to the Father? He's forgiven me for a while. I feel like I've been forgiven more than ye all. I remember you, I was in the Santa booth, and you walked in church. You said, Brother Eric. I said, yes, sir, brother. You said, man, I don't care if I have to repent 1,000 times in one day. I'm going to get the blood.
Praise God.
Still that thought. If you have to repent 1,000 times in one day, I'm going to get to the blood.
Amen. That's
love. That's love.
That's love. Yes, sir. And he don't remember it, Eric. When people understand it, if they get after they confess and tell the Lord they're sorry, if they get a thought after that, oh, I can't, you, man, I still can't believe you did that. If they could recognize that was the enemy and humble themselves and just tell that thought, no thought, Jesus done forgave me, you leave my mind. Eric, I'm telling you, it leaves right away. It has to go.
Ooh.
It has to go because you humbled yourself to his word. Man, I mean, you know, because that used to happen to me, that someone would beat me up for weeks. And that wasn't the Lord. That was the enemy coming
That's
and
right.
bringing me thoughts. Hey, man, praise God.
I remember working with somebody, and I remember they messaged me, and it was a long list of stuff they was going through. I mean, it was a long list of stuff I wouldn't even repeat to people. Man, I said, what in the world is going on? And I was working with them. They was really going through it in their mind. At points really suicidal, wanting to get it all over with. They just kept falling and doing things that their heart didn't want them to do, but their flesh was just running their lives. And I remember they would get some victory. I mean, we would count the days. Okay, you got 10 days, 15 days, 20 days. And on the 21st day, bam, they had to start all over. But this
Praise
went on,
God.
You know. It went on for about, you know, months. And but they didn't give up, man. They did not give up. And the Lord just kept loving. They would always repent, start all over. And finally, somewhere, boom, the Holy Ghost hit them or something, man, and they just got totally free. And,
Praise God.
They're so happy now. They're just telling everybody how much Jesus has set them free. And if people just don't give up and run to the blood, be honest. That's one thing I can say about that person is they never was dishonest.
Mm.
And if you stay in dishonesty, which is a form of selfishness and more than that, it's a form of pride, then you'll never get help. You'll never get free. Because you'll never experience the Father's love.
No, you won't. You won't. And that's the only thing that can get you free of anything is Jesus' love. There's one. What does the proverb say? He who covers his sin is. I can't remember what it said, but when you cover your sin, you don't. Nothing happens.
Yeah, you don't prosper.
Yeah, you don't prosper. So. And I'm not going to cover anything. I'll just be honest with you. You know, even I repent, even if I'm not sure I missed it. You know,
right.
I tell the Lord, I don't even know if I missed it there, but I'm sorry if I did something wrong. You know, what I mean, I want it right. My heart is so tender to Him that I don't want anything
right
to be in the way of our relationship. You know,
right.
You know, I want to be able to come to Him and talk to Him.
And what makes him so honest is that you can't tell him anything. And it's almost like he wants us to talk to him and trust him and tell him everything. It's a relationship, I guess. He just wants a relationship from his children. And the more open, I've seen people, when they just really pour their heart out to the Father, that's when action really takes place. And it
Amen.
Can be about the smallest things in life. I remember a lady, she I don't even know how much she was walking with the Lord, but she was telling me, you know, this is one of my experiences with the Father. She said she was coming home from a funeral. It was like her best friend died, and she was going through it. Well, on the way home, it was raining outside. Bam, she catches a flat tire. And just from her heart, she said, Father, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it. She said, I need you to send somebody by here to help. She said, a second or two later, a truck pulls up behind her and said, ma'am, don't get out the car. I'm going to change the tire. I'm going to fix everything
Praise.
For you.
Praise God.
It's those moments, man, when you reach them from your heart, man. Go ahead.
Amen. That's powerful, man. I mean, he said in 1 John 4, he said, in verse 18, he said, there's no fear in love.
Amen.
You know, but perfect love casteth out fear. You know, and because fear has torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You haven't been made in believing how he loved you.
Right.
You know, if you look at the cross and you see, while we were dead, well, the Bible said he died while we were yet sinners. He died for us. I mean, now that we're saved, what's he going to do now that we're saved? We're his children. He's already shown us that while we were sinners, he saved us. Now that we're his children, you know, I mean, you think about it. And you know, like that lady did, she just asked the Lord something.
And
he showed up. He loved her. Right in the middle of something going wrong.
Have you had a moment with the Father where your heart just really reached out to him? I mean, you was at your end's wits and you just didn't know which way to go. I've had this happen several times. And just from your heart, you reached out to him. Maybe something you prayed about it for a while, but finally your heart reached up to him and you saw like an instant conclusion or instant movement from the Father.
Yes, I had just praying for some of my family members. I'm driving down the road one day, and this kind of goes along with that. It's kind of different, but it gets to the point of what we're saying. But I'm driving down the road one day, and then the Holy Spirit just descends on me in my car driving down the road and says this to me. He said, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive." And when I heard that, I thought, praise God. You know, just okay, the Lord wants me to ask for whatever, just ask. And but this was in my heart. I didn't even know it. Just the Spirit led me. This came out of me when I prayed. I said, "Lord, I want my brother Andy to know you like I do." And then I heard this, Eric. Done.
Wow.
And I thought, praise God. Now, that was in my heart. I didn't even know it because, you know, everybody wants their family to be saved. You know, really your heart's that everybody be saved. But
right.
People you know and love, you have more affection for them, so you want to go after them. So I just kind of let it go. Now, everybody would bring stuff to me, like, "Oh, so-and-so's going through this, so-and-so's going through this," you know, talking about him. And I'd say, "Well, I'm not worried about it." I start laughing. They'd be like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I ain't worried about it." I said, "The Lord done told me that's done. It's finished. He's going to know him like I do." I mean, it wasn't 6 months after I prayed that. You know, now I had to sit through that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I believe that prayer was answered. He shows up at my house one day. He said, "Man, I had an encounter with the Lord like you did."
Oh,
and he just said, "Man, I just," you know, he gave his heart to it. I thought, praise God. You know, hallelujah.
Oh, man.
Now, after that, you know, he went through some things. And
yeah.
And if he hadn't had that encounter, I don't believe he would have made it out of some of that stuff he went through.
Wow.
You know, just
man,
watching that. But
I'm waiting on a phone call or a similar moment in my life from my brother, man. I've been praying for him for years. But, yeah, oh, man, that's awesome. I love it when I hear testimonies about people's family because I've been standing in the gap for my brother for years, and I'm just waiting on seeing that day. But I believe I received. I'm going to tell
you, man,
similar.
That's it, man. It's done, you know, it's done. Hey.
When you said driving down the road, I remember a similar testimony. I remember I was, I've been married for about a year at this point, and shout out to Miss Roberts, Mrs. Roberts. But we used to live in a barber shop. We don't despise humble beginners. We know what that means because we used to live in a one room in a barber shop. So any of the barbers could come in anytime they wanted to. But anyway, we moved into the house. I was working nights and I was still cutting at that barber shop. And so some nights what I have to do, I have to get off at 7 o'clock in the morning, then I would have to take my wife to work, then go back to the barber shop, cut a few heads, then maybe pick her up for lunch where she could take me home where I could get some sleep. And I mean, on these days, I was just exhausted. And I remember the last time I did that, I was driving. It was in the morning. I just dropped her off. I'm driving to go to the barbershop to cut hair. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, Lord. You know, I'm getting tired of this. And I remember the scripture came to me, or the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the time where you believe you receive." See, if I complain, then I don't believe, because I was believing God for a car, so I wouldn't have to at least drop her off at work. I could just go from my job to the shop and then come home. And,
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the time. Do you believe you receive, or are you going to complain? Because if you complain, you don't believe you receive." So at that moment, I remember driving up Trinity Lane. I instead of complaining, I lift my hands up. You know, I probably still had one hand on the steering wheel.
I said, Lord, I'm so thankful I got my debt-free car. So thankful.
Praise
I don't have
God.
To drop my wife off no more. Man, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for my debt-free car. I'm so glad I don't have to do this where I have to drop my wife off so I can just drive straight to the barbershop. Thank you so much, Father. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm telling you, I remember I said that's when I got my car. And about a week later, somebody gave me LS400 Lexus, gave it to me debt-free.
Praise God.
And that changed the whole game.
Praise God.
Right there, that's when I got it. I've already prayed for it, but I got it right there.
Amen. You realize you received.
Yeah, I believe I received. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I wasn't finna complain. If you complain, then you don't believe. That's just the truth, ain't it?
Amen. It is. It is. You can't complain about anything. He's already done something about complaining.
Man, let's see if we can get a pass. I believe this is Pastor Robert Denson. Hold on, let me just click him in.
Glory to God.
Praise God. Praise God, brother.
He slap awesome.
Yes, glory.
Oh, glory to God.
Tell me something about selfishness, man. What's going to keep us from being selfish?
Keep us from being selfish and let his love take over your life. His love don't want nothing. It just wants to give. That's why it's important to love our wives like that. Don't want nothing, just give. Glory to God.
Yeah,
because he gave to me, I want to give back to him. Woo!
tell me, Pastor Robert, tell me, was there a time in your life where you had to make that choice, though, not to be selfish and to walk in his love? You got an experience like that?
Absolutely, man. I was amazed before Pastor Scale started coming to the church. I was pastoring and just mad as hell at everybody in the congregation, preach against them, tear them down. Then I had to find out it's all about his love. And the Bible
don't
say that through preaching on hell and condemnation, people go to heaven. It says through his kindness, people come to repentance.
Mm.
And one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So if you're a Christian and you're kind, you ain't even a Christian.
Praise God.
You say you're a Christian, but if you ain't kind, that ain't God-like, because that's who he is.
Wow,
well, if we ain't acting like him, then we ain't a Christian.
Oh,
my goodness.
Christian doesn't mean to be Christ-like.
he said, you can be a believer or you can be a Christian. There's too many believers. We need some Christians. So I had to make it. I passed it. I was just a believer.
Amen.
I had to make a decision. Let Jesus love me, then love everybody else like that. That's a Christian. Woo, glory.
Glory.
And Pastor Robert, you had to make a real decision because you got rocked when Pastor Scales came down there. And to really follow truth, you had to sacrifice members of your church, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We was up to 100 people, 130 people. Pastor Scales came 3 times in 1 year. We was down to about 40. Then we got down to about 25 because they just couldn't handle the message. And for the past 3-4 years, we was about 20, 25. And then in October, Pastor Scales called me at the end of September, and he said, something's fixing to happen in 2 weeks. I said, praise the Lord. He said, something with the church. So in 2 weeks, I was expecting it to explode, but in 2 weeks, he changed something in me. But then in about 3 months, the church has doubled. And we've expanded from 2,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And that, when we had the 100, 130, I was all tore up all the time. I was full-time in the ministry. And then back in August the 2nd, the Lord told me to go full-time. I've been full-time now. Friday will be 8 months. Lord, I wanted a new truck, but I just wouldn't step out there because I said, Lord, you're going to have to tell me. So I went up into Pastor Scales in Huntsville, and the Lord said, get it. So I come back, went and got it, got me a 2015 Dodge Ram extended cab.
No.
He just keeps taking care of me.
Praise God.
It ain't me doing it, it's him doing it. Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
God.
Man,
Pastor,
I love you, y'all. I love y'all
say
so much.
Man,
we love you,
Pastor. I can't wait to get you on the show, man. When you gonna be able to work with me about a few days?
You let me know what days you got, and I'll see if I'm open.
I will. I know you're a busy man, preaching and teaching the words of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to get you on here. Man, you got any last words, Pastor Roberts?
Oh, just trust in Jesus. Give your whole life to him. Don't try to figure it out. He's already got it figured out.
I love you so much. All right, Pastor Roberts. I love you, man. Thanks for calling in.
Love you, too.
Amen. I love Pastor Rob.
He always comes up and visits the church when we have special meetings. He's just been a tremendous blessing, man. We just love each other every time. We embrace, love each other every time I see him. Brandon, man, why don't you close us out in prayer, man? Could you pray for anybody who's dealing with that spirit of selfishness and pride? You pray,
amen.
Maybe give a little message on it, and we'll close it out right after that.
All right. We're going to go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I come against selfishness, Lord. If there's anybody out there that has that spirit, just confess, to the Lord that you're selfish and ask him to help you and teach you and change you. So, Lord, we can do that right now. If anybody out there needs to pray this, y'all pray with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I confess to you that I've been selfish in my life, and I repent of that. I turn from that to walk in your love and do what you say. Now, Father, I receive forgiveness for that and your love, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, Brandon, man, I very much appreciate you coming on, man. I love you, and thank God for you, brother. I really wanted you to talk about this because, like I said before, you're one of the few people that I've known that I haven't seen. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know, but I haven't seen you get discouraged one time since you've been saved. I haven't seen discouragement. And I know discouragement is one a symptom of being selfish. You're discouraged because you didn't get something you wanted. And so that's why I wanted you to come on and share this topic with me. But I love and I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, we're closing out the show. This is the Choose to Joy podcast. Tune in. We might have a show tomorrow. We might not. But I love you. Thanks for tuning in. And if it bless you, please share with your friends. The link would be at the what could I share? The link is blogtalkradio.com/choosetojoy. All right. Or you could hit us up on Facebook. My name is Eric Roberts. And Brandon Robertson is on there, too. He might not want you to look him up on Facebook. But anyway, just get in contact with us if you can. There's a way you can leave a message on the website, on the Blog Talk Radio. All right, I'm out. God bless you. And we're out. Let's see if I can get this thing working. I don't know how to do it. I might just hang up because this ain't working. Right. Hey, Brandon, I love you. And
I love you too.